See, because I was trying to remember his name, and like the only thing that came to mind was like that dickhead emperor from Gladiator hooks up with like a nice Jewish girl. And you get Joachim Sandberg.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And then we have the intro, and there's like some music, and then there's a part where I say, hello, hello, and welcome, I'm Nick, and joining me today are
Ryan
and Jake.
And welcome to the Leaku Studios podcast, Freeware Game Review number 87, Iconoclast and Pilot Nouveau, podcast for the date of May 13th, 2012. So Jake, you're
Oh, hello. Hi. What?
Hi.
Who's this guy?
I'm Jake.
He's the new intern.
Oh, okay. Good.
I get to be an intern?
Sure.
For a little
awesome.
While.
There's obviously a trial period.
Oh, okay.
So right now we have Demo Jake.
Demo Jake.
Maybe later if you want to switch over and be like Pyro Jake or Soldier Jake, that might be possible.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
But you got to earn it first.
What?
I don't know. Demos are pretty powerful.
Yeah,
I've had one wreck a team before.
But they also don't have any depth perception, so... I mean, if you're playing video games, I guess you don't really need it, 2D screen. But, I mean, we're on the verge of, like, 3D technology. You would not be able to cover any 3DS games, so...
There's, like, Pyro Jake, and then Jake Frost, and then, like, King Jake, and, what was the...
A Jake-O-Lantern.
No, there was the one that you get from fusing Pyro Jake and Jake Frost...
You guys have totally lost me now.
It had Bufu and Augie skills.
What?
I just had the Bufu stones. You just snap one and somebody freezes. Pretty great.
I always imagined they were just like grenade-like. Like you just tossed them. Just like, hey, magic rock! Bomb.
Well, no, because they look like the Seal of Doom magic card, which apparently the way that works is you put it into play, and then as soon as you break it, somebody dies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to tear the card in half?
No. Oh, it was okay. A picture of being broken on it. So maybe you, like, stick it back together, and that's how you make it work.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. So, we last week we had a what you've been playing, but Jake, you're new. What have you been playing lately?
Yeah, Jake, what's your deal?
I've been playing a lot of Legend of Grimrock.
Okay.
Dope.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's satisfied all of my dungeon crawling needs. I think it's gonna last me until Diablo 3 comes out.
So, okay, so from the little bit I've seen in that game, what keeps it from getting repetitive?
Jake, does it stay fresh?
No, it definitely does. I mean, every level that you get to, they're introducing new monsters. There's all sorts of puzzles, which are my favorite part of the game. You know, there's secrets and, like, one of the first puzzles that you come into, is a little demon statue, and you have to go find its eyes, which are gemstones, and then you place it in, and it allows you to go forward. And
classy.
It's a simple puzzle, to sort of set the tone for the game, and like later on when you get further down, it's like I'm stuck on one now where it's like it leads you into this room, but when you step on this platform. The floor becomes solid, but then as you go, the floor starts like falling out from under you. Like it's a room full of trapdoors. So you have to go in there and figure out what it is that you're supposed to do to unlock the door. And I'm stuck there.
Wow.
Yeah, I've fallen down like 20 times. And you drop into the lower level, and then there's like a little teleporty thing that brings you up to the. Back to where you started, so
rough.
And I mean, it's really cool because like the pitfalls that they've got, like, you know, normally you drop into a pitfall, you die,
yeah,
you know, just the end, but they actually drop you into the lower level, you take some damage, and then you find your way back up. It was one of the cooler things about that.
All right.
Just from the perspective of just like building a dungeon environment, like,
yeah,
I'm in love with the idea of dungeon, like capital D, so like that sounds very appealing to me.
Yeah, it's
just
loads
that sort
of
interconnected. Yeah,
I'm trying.
I should get on that.
I'm trying to think. There was something I played not too long ago where like a sort of a big gag about it was that you had to go to an upper level, push rocks into holes to knock it down, and then like that deflected lasers or something in the lower levels that you could actually progress through there.
I want to say I've played something similar to that.
Like, yeah, I want to say there actually might have been something like that in one of the Pokemon games, like in one of the mountain passes.
No, there definitely
Mystery Dungeon?
No, it was in...
Silver? No, it was Pearl, wasn't it?
I never played Pearl, so I don't think so, but I want to say they...
She just got real.
I want to say they had it in like Silver or like the re-release of it, and yeah, you had to you know, go up to the level and drop the stones, and then you use those to sort of make your way through the mountain.
So Pokemon Advanced Dungeon World Building Simulator.
Yeah, I guess.
No. Grimlock, is that it? Played some Trials earlier.
Yeah,
whatever. Play Grimrock, Etrian Odyssey 3, I think it is, coming out.
I have not heard anything about that.
It's like a first person dungeon crawly thing. You have to like draw a map and everything. Super anime. Nice.
Yeah, they've actually got a setting on Grimrock for that where you can play old school where they won't fill in the map for you.
Oh.
I've not dared to venture that deep into it though.
I kind of feel like I should get into this game because like I played like Curse of the Azure Bonds, like one of the old D&D like gold box dungeon crawlies of that style, like when I was very young and just couldn't comprehend those games.
Right.
But like I feel an affinity for that sort of thing. But I've never really like I've got Etrian Odyssey 2. I never really finished it. I should go back to that too. I should get on that. Ever play any of those old ones? Curse of the Azure Bonds, Radiant Pool.
No, this is actually one of my first, you know, ventures into first person dungeon crawl.
Nice.
I mean, most of the ones that I've played have been like third person, like, you know, Baldur's Gate and, you know, stuff like that, which aren't exactly dungeon crawls,
but
you know,
yeah,
are RPG and they have dungeons in them, so close enough.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I'm. Like I said, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah,
with this.
I think it's cool to see a game of this style come out now, and like I don't know how it's doing, like how successfully it's doing. Like I don't know what their sales are and stuff, but like,
well, I mean, I think pretty much anybody who has played the old style games,
are
sort of into this one. But I don't know if it's really going to be able to bring in anybody new. Like I think there has been some sign that like some people just pick it up because they've been hearing about it because something like this hasn't been done in a while. But I don't know how many people are going to be like into the genre now because of it.
Well, when are we going to get a new wizardry? That's what I'm wondering.
We got a Wizorb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's close, maybe. But if we got a...
Which was it, like, Champions of Might and Magic was the one that Brian was really into?
I love that game.
No, not Heroes of Might and Magic, but the one with, like, the walking around in the overworld, like, tile
well,
combat
that
thing.
Was, like, yeah.
Yeah, there was another one that was, like, a first-person party of dudes walking around. Actually a sci-fi game. I think they revealed that in, like, the third or fourth game.
Oh. Wow.
When it's just like, hey, remember this fantasy world you're, like, walking on? Well, there's, like, a crashed alien mothership underneath it.
You know, that's sort of the reverse of what happened in Star Ocean Till the End of Time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're in a sci-fi world, and then you crash land on a fantasy planet, and then you can't use sci-fi stuff. Really annoying.
Prime directive, dude.
Well, fuck that. I want laser guns. I landed with one. All right.
Okay.
So how about some of these games?
What?
We got two demos. Games.
Like video games?
Yeah, dude.
Nerds.
Video games are awesome. I don't know if you know this. What a time
yeah, okay,
to be alive
I'll
and playing
it.
Video games.
I'll believe it.
Okay.
To play video games will be a great adventure.
So, which one do we want to start with?
I don't know. Whichever. I'm going to sneeze right now. You make a decision.
Iconoclast.
Okay. Hello.
Okay.
All
right. We're going to be talking about two games in a sort of exploration platformy Metroidvania style that are still upcoming, but have playable demos at the moment. The Iconoclasts. Is it the Iconoclasts or just Iconoclasts?
I think it's just Iconoclasts.
Okay. With a plural, though.
Yes.
Okay. And Pilo Nouveau.
Yeah.
So, as per Nick's degree, let's decree.
Yeah. No, I'm a Bachelor of Deciding.
Oh, okay.
A BD.
Fantastic. Good. Thank you for like finally bringing some credentials to this.
Yeah,
this just pony show. That's a phrase, right? Like a horse and pony show.
I thought it was a
or just like a.
For some reason, I always thought it was a dog and pony
dog
show.
And yeah, pony show. Dog yeah, and pony like show. A shitty carnival act. Yeah. I'm saying our podcast is like a second-rate carnival act. Is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh,
here.
I thought you were trying to say that this comes on after the Thanksgiving Day parade.
If I knew what came on before My Little Pony, I'd say that, but I don't because I don't watch TV.
Well, we can just think of a dog cartoon. The only one I know of is Rescue Rovers.
Courage, the
cat
cowardly
dog.
Courage, the
cowardly dog.
Cat dog.
Cat dog.
I don't think Cat Dog is on the air anymore.
No, no. But it should be.
Angry Beavers.
Fantastic.
You know, they've got all that stuff on
Steve
Netflix.
Horrible.
It's like all those cartoons from the 90s is like...
It's great.
Yes, yes. I disappeared for about a month when that happened. As you know, I revisited Invader Zim, Angry Beavers. You know, Ren and Stimpy.
Ugh. that show messed me up when I was a kid.
That was my childhood, man.
Yeah, like I still have the Ren and Stimpy SNES game.
That's a good game.
But like level two, you go inside of his mouth and you're attacked
it's
by
all
like
gross. It's
rogue
disgusting.
Roots. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
the show messed me up when I was a kid.
That's the problem with TV shows today is that they're not bad enough.
God.
Like everybody's talking about how bad they are. I just think they're not bad enough.
If they were just a little worse, they'd have that redeeming like so bad quality.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, do you remember when Bart Simpson was like the worst role model on TV?
Yes.
Eat my shorts.
And then everyone just flipped out when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like we're immune to it, I guess, because we grew up with that, but like...
He pulled his pants down and he painted Ronald Reagan's face on his butt. Whoa!
I believe it was Nixon.
Oh, yeah?
Good times.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, one time it was Nixon, one time it just said, don't tread on me. But that was when they were in Australia.
So
that's the other thing stuck in my brain. A lot of encyclopedic knowledge about early.
I have a trivia game for you.
All right.
So my friend has the Simpsons trivia game.
Ooh.
And
yeah.
It's so much in detail that they like.
This is a much more literal trend than I thought it was going to be. I've got a little game for you. Here's the Simpsons trivia game. Oh. Okay.
Actually, I think I have that too. It might be in the closet.
Oh, okay. Well. Nobody that we know knows The Simpsons well enough to actually play it at all.
Well, like, okay, so, like, is it a new edition? Because I haven't watched Simpson in maybe, like, 6 years, but
the first
seven seasons, I've seen them all, like, 3 to 5 times.
It's an old one. He's cleaning out his house, so...
Okay.
Yeah, it was in a closet somewhere, and he's like, hey, Jake, do you want this? I'm like, yeah, sure, I love The Simpsons. And then we opened it up, and it's like,
full
you know,
dust
in
spiders.
Such and such episode... You know, and I don't know the names of any of the episodes, so...
Yeah.
I was pretty much done at that point.
Well, no, something about the one episode that was a Mary Poppins ripoff was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, because in every script for The Simpsons, it never says Doe, it always says Annoyed Grunt, and then that just gets filled in by Doe when the voice actor records it.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember what the voice actor's name is, but that part I don't know.
Steve Horowitz.
Cab Calloway.
I love Cab Calloway.
Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar. It's probably Phil Lamar.
Probably.
So
he got shot in the face in Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
So anyway, let's talk about Iconoclasts for a bit.
The Iconoclasts is, whatever it's called, we're so good at this!
Yeah!
Is a game by Joachim.
You can do it. You can do it.
Samoflange. Cognac. The creator of some games we previously talked about on the podcast, like Chalk, as well as esteemed No E2 Love, and the recently re-released on Steam, No E2 Love 2, go get it.
Legend of Princess, which
Legend
we haven't talked
Princess.
About yet. And I don't think we ever talked about No E2 Love anyway. I think we've only talked about Chalk from him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't? Oh.
Well, we got a few more episodes lined up.
Well, I mean,
put him in the queue.
Good game. I'm basically in love with this dude. He's a fantastic artist. I love how his games look and how they play and everything. Like I really like his sense of style and his sense of what's good. So I'm really, really looking forward to this game when it fully releases.
Yeah. Which he is still slowly working on it. But, like, I know, like, the point that he got it to for the version that we played, like, either this one or he did a little bit more, and then that was what got submitted to IGF.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, like, that's why there is a playable demo at all, because he was setting it up for that.
Okay. Oh, okay. So there is a playable build of the game right now that was released some time ago.
Yeah, a little while ago.
It's a pretty old build, but the game is like a Metroidvania exploration platformer type thing. You play as a girl in a sort of like oppressive theocratic thingy where for some reason, what's the word I'm looking for? She's a mechanic, and that is...
Outlawed.
Outlawed.
Something about like... It has to do with, like, the fuel source, like, the gold ivory or something.
Yeah,
and then, like, only members of the clergy are allowed to work with it and deal with it. And people can only use, like, the batteries, which they need, like, are rationed out to the populace. And that's... But, like, people not of the cloth are not allowed to touch it because they might make it impure and then the world is doomed. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm going to say that's some old bullshit set up by the man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's why you... that idea.
So you play as this girl with a giant wrench going around and like...
And a laser rifle.
Nope, just the wrench. Oh, you get the... Oh, yeah, and the,
yeah,
the charge.
A little
Mega Buster. I think of it as like the like, I kind of think of it like the Polar Star or the stun gun from the underside. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Except it charges.
It's a rock breaker. Because why would you not hit people with the wrench?
Yeah, the wrench is way cooler.
Well, there are some bosses that you need it to take out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have the wrench when you fight that first boss, I guess.
Also, the second boss has like a wall in between you and it, so you have to shoot it.
So you jump around solving like environmental puzzles by use of your wrench to like... ratchet platforms into place to let moving platforms get to certain locations, and then, like, you ratchet them back to lock them in place, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All sorts of cool shit.
Kind of like everything that you actually interact with is just bolts that you tighten to achieve various effects in the world.
There are also gears that you just spin your wrench at.
Yeah.
Then it just sort of works.
Yeah,
and then some nuts you use as grappling points.
Yep.
And you swing around the world.
It's grappling, do you double jump? I forget if you double jump.
No double jump.
Okay. Wall jumping?
You can jump away from ledges.
Yeah.
And that's close. That's close. That's like in a Stealth Asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it Stealth Bastard? I always forget.
Stealth Bastard.
Okay, I just named the folder Stealth Asshole then. Similar.
Okay, good.
That's the prequel.
Ah.
And the game is super beautiful.
Yeah.
I know I mentioned that like I really like this dude's art, but just like the animations are like super awesome, like,
yeah,
super smooth. Like when everything is moving, it looks amazing.
It took me a while to boot that game up, but when I finally did, like just the amount of detail, the color, like intensity of all of this pixel art. That's
the dude's sprite work is just fantastic.
Like I am freaking in love with his sprite work. Like, maybe it's a stretch, but, like him and McConville have the same way to, like, stylize things and to, like, simplify, but McConville's gone with, like, heavy lines, and this dude's gone into sprite work, which is, like...
Doesn't McConville do, like, less borders on things?
No?
He changed his style. Did he just, like, experiment with that for a while?
That was something he was doing towards the end of Mac Hall, but, like, in the three-panel Soul, like, all of that is, like,
super heavy lines.
And I think that's more how he's been doing it lately.
Okay.
Except he's also been doing, like, 3D stuff, because he did, like, all of the art for Spiral Knights.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
But I also like a lot of his gameplay choices in the Iconoclast. Like, there's no loot and stuff like you might see in, like, a modern Castlevania. I remember he talks about development, in very open terms and stuff on his Twitter account pretty constantly. And I remember he was having... just sort of this open discussion the other day that was like, I want to reward people for, like, using some kind of combo system well, but, like, if I add in points, like, that will literally be, like, I don't have points, and if I just add in points for you beating up a dude really well, like, there won't be a use for it, so it's kind of weird. Like, if you beat up a dude really well and it increases, like, the drop rate or something, like, well, they'll either drop hearts or more hearts.
Yeah.
But he... And there's a bit at the end of the build here where you're actually controlling, like, two people. Like, you get this pirate buddy, and then in, like, the last boss fight, you have to, like, use your wrench to open up, like, weak points on the boss and then guide your pirate buddy to, like, blast them with a shotgun and stuff.
Mm, right.
And, like, that, super cool.
Yeah.
So, like, beautiful art, interesting gameplay choices. I just mean, like, the, like, what other game of this style has you, like, collaborating between two people like that?
Portrait of Ruin?
Kind of. Not so,
I mean, that was a lot more mechanical, because there was, like, the other dude button.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar with the new Prince
of
Persia.
I mean, your options were either, like, your call them there in for an assist, or just have them follow you around and kind of auto-attack things.
Yeah. but there is sort of that. I mean, to be fair, like, when you have the other character, like, she kind of just sits there in a boss fight, and the only thing you control is her aiming, and every other time it's just a picture of her at the top to remind you that she's with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, during the boss fight, she also hangs around, and when they send, like, the spinny things out at you, she
blasts them.
Right. Just, yeah. Like, as a passive attack.
Which is kind of neat. And also, she's Mina of the Pirates, which was a game that he worked on before, but sort of he abandoned that one, so he used that character again. Like, so he's kind of, if you know some, like, Joachim Sandberg deep cuts.
Joachim.
That's how I like it.
I'm still thinking it's a Joachim.
But like, I like Joachim.
Like a Joachim Phoenix.
Sure.
That's what the core of my wand is. It's a Joachim Phoenix's hair.
Okay. I forgot what I got. I think I got Unicorn.
Oh, okay. What, did you Pottermore?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's really dumb. Like, kind of everything, like, it's trying to be something cool for Potter fans, but the way they built it is pretty dumb. But then they had that little bit in there.
Okay. Where you get a wand.
Yeah.
What house were you?
Slytherin.
Wow, gross.
Yeah. Yo, dude, Merlin was a Slytherin, so fuck you.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like, the only bad thing I have to say about this game is, like, because...
Is that it's not out yet.
Well, no, like, because it's an early build, it's got, like, some bugs in it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I probably hit the hard end that he mentions, but, like, the way that it ends is just, like, I found this spot where an elevator glitches, and then I can't go forward anymore. And I almost thought that it was because I increased my expertise skill.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
there's, like, the four skills. There's, like, attack, defense for hitting and getting hurt, but then there's also cool and expertise.
I thought I was remembering this game pretty well, but I should have gone back and played it before we talked about this.
But just
because, like you gather materials and then you bring them back to a dude, and then like
part of the Contra Chemco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super like the secret about their job.
Yeah,
like the secret underground chemical engineering team.
Yeah, dudes love upgrading.
They're just like, oh, dude, you got some Voltamite. I'm gonna upgrade your shit.
Yeah,
be awesome.
Like, also, just like the story of that game. Like, he's doing. I like the world building that he's doing
because, yeah.
I don't know, like, if the idea of like a theocracy, I guess, is like an oppressive theocracy. I don't know if that's sort of a new idea, but
not particularly.
Like tying that to the idea of it's based around fuel source, because that's sort of timely for the real world, and then you play as a mechanics being the thing that's kind of outlawed, because like you're just going to, like, you meet a dude and you're like fixing sinks, and it's like, oh, all right, I can do that. But then like those dudes get the hammer brought down on them, and then when everybody wakes up the next day, their house is burned to the ground and like shit is getting real.
Yeah,
so like I could see this game taking like some serious like dark turns along the way.
As a dude that likes, you know, that appreciates craft work and stuff. Like, I sort of like, just like the, you know, the heroic trait that sets you apart from people is you're pretty good with your hands and you have a big wrench.
Yeah. what is it? I think 2600, the magazine, like their mantra is, if you can't open it up, it's not worth having.
Mm.
So like there's definitely like an entire subculture that he could be pulling on here about like tinkering. I don't know so much that he uses that, but what he's building is definitely standing well already.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that, like, you get dark story moments. Because, like, it's not like the game looks super cartoony, but, like, all the colors are super saturated. Mm. And just everything is so, like, well stylized. Like, it just looks really good. And then it's just like, no, we're going to, like, be, like, super dark for a moment.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah. those three goons show up, and they're like, one of us is short, and one of us is tall, and we're kind of goofy looking, and we're, like, you have to get out now. We're destroying all of this.
Yeah.
You don't get to keep your house anymore.
Yeah. Crazy. Just people are disappearing. You got clergy who aren't allowed to speak.
Yeah.
It's like the opening of Red Faction Guerrilla, where like your father got killed because he was a mechanic and they found out, and that's why you live on your own.
For real?
Well, in Red Faction, the way that starts is your brother gets killed because they think he's part of the Red Faction, which he is, but they don't have any proof. They just kill him anyway. And then because of that, you join the Red Faction,
yeah, yeah.
even though you weren't part of it anyway. And then you drive a truck through a building, because that game is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like the construction mechs.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
I kind
of
feel like there weren't enough of those, though.
Yeah.
Well, I only ever played the demo for that one, and it was like, I got the construction mech and then just, like, walked around town. That's all I did.
And then that, like, pass and play multiplayer was actually really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The multiplayer in that game was just really sweet in general.
Yeah, like, even the online, where it was sort of deathmatch. When your deathmatch includes bringing building downs on dudes, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of class is really short. Okay. And it's kind of...
Well, I mean, the build that's out now, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it feels like it's not going to get going for a while, and then shit just gets going, and then you kind of reach the end, I feel. And, like, I don't know really how much there is to, like, say about it, because, like, it looks amazing, and, like, there's an interesting story going on, but, like, you know, how much can you say beyond... It looks good and there's an interesting story on a
podcast. The platforming's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, the grappling and such.
I like that there's the grappling. I like that it's tied to your weapon. And I'm interested to see, there are, like, slots on the menu for, like, he's planning on putting in more, like, gun types and more tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Which,
that could be cool.
That's going to, like, open it up a lot, and I bet that'll make it really, really cool.
And I imagine it'll be the sort of thing where it's like, oh, there's this obstacle here. I don't know how to get past it. And then later on, like, you find your oversized screwdriver, and now you can go back and get through that obstacle.
Oversized hammer. but, what's the word? Like it's really good. It's really solid. It looks amazing. But the only thing I really have to say bad about it is the grappling is a bit weird, just because of the hitboxes on stuff. Like,
right.
Like you have to time it early because the animation only works when it's in front of you. But there's this like huge overhead swing.
Yeah.
And also it has to be in front of you. If you like hit it while it's on the box of the girl and not of the wrench, you miss it and you just fly past.
Yeah.
And that was the first time it crashed on me because like. There's two swings, and, like, I hit one swing, I missed the second one, I fell into the pit where you fight the first boss, and it crashed out because I had already beaten him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I actually ran into that myself.
Yeah?
This is embarrassing, but I missed that jump twice in a row. The first time, I wasn't actually, I wasn't doing anything while I fell into the pit, and it, you know, it didn't crash or anything, but the second time, I was, like, was frustrated, so I was mashing the button and like I was in the middle of an attack as I fell into the pit and it just like stopped. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the crash itself, but
it could. I mean, now I just want to go test debug states, damn it.
I mean, this is basically just sort of like a test build and showcase thing, so I wouldn't like focus too harshly on it.
Right.
Yeah, no, like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying, like it was buggy, and that came into effect trying to play it a couple of times. But, you know, it's a build, like, I was able to get to some kind of an end. I got really far, made it to a desert, that was cool. And like, he's got this, like, weird humor style.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, they're jokes, and they're over the top, but the really funny part is that, like, he goes over the top in, like, a slightly awkward way, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that dude who just, like, constantly, like, tells you to shut up before you say anything. And then eventually he's just, like, so brazen about it that he bumps into you and knocks a character across the room.
Yeah.
There's a nice attitude to, the like, all the signs you find that tell you how to do things.
Yeah.
Like, early on it tells you, like, hey, if you time your attack right, you can deflect projectiles.
You can deflect projectiles.
And then, like, you get to the point where there's enemies that shoot projectiles, and there's a sign there. It's just like, hey, remember what I told you about deflecting? You should do it.
Yeah. I don't think it even says that. It's just like, do you remember when I told you about deflecting? And that's the whole sign.
Yeah.
Buddy side, buddy committee.
Okay. You're going to be seeing this sign again soon.
Yep.
Nothing will ever beat that.
As you're escaping the jail.
Yeah.
And you have to crawl through the space ahead. And they've got, you know, it's like they're all telling those terrible jokes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But then there's like, as you're going through that, there's one where that just like flops.
Yeah. Because he talked about, and did you see all them boys hanging out down by the beach? Silence.
It was great because it's like the first time that happened, I got caught because I wasn't actually reading what they were saying, so I just kind of assumed they were going to laugh.
Yeah.
And then they did.
Great.
It was just really awkward because, like, I was going, it was like, oh, hang on a sec.
Yeah.
It's like, you got caught.
Well, because, and then there's another part later where, like, you fall into a group of dudes, but, you know, they're just grunts, so they're kind of dumb, so there's like, oh, boss, we were waiting for you. You're not the boss. You're a girl. And then you get a menu with three options. It's like you're right, I'm not. I'm sorry. No, I am the boss. I'm not a girl. And if you pick that one, he's just like, well, I'm not one to question somebody else's life choices, but... And then he goes on with the rest of the conversation.
Oh, my God. And then as you're... You know, after you beat the second boss and you're going to the desert area, and the boat finds
the
you...
The boat section!
Yeah.
And then... Oh, hang on. You guys, we don't need you. Just throw you over the board.
It's like, oh, two lost souls adrift. Well, throw them back over the boat.
Yep.
Like,
that really threw me.
Yeah, no, me too. I was just like, that one had me cracking up, actually. Oh, so, yeah, like, it's totally worth playing. Like, it's short, but it's worth playing. And it's beautiful, and I can't wait to see more of it. And he is, like, actively working on this still.
You should follow him on Twitter if you're interested in, you know... Even if like you're just kind of vaguely interested in like game development and stuff, just to like hear about what's going on in this dude's head as he's making his game.
Well, because like sometimes he'll talk about his progress on the game. Sometimes he'll talk about like just game ideas in general, and sometimes he'll talk about just his own insecurities. So that's cool.
Oh,
yeah. It's like three things he talks about, and that's it. And that's, I think a lot of game designers end up talking about those three things, the cool ones at least, the ones not making money at least. Yeah.
You don't think Cliffy gets on Twitter and just opens his heart sometimes?
No, because he got tired of people calling him Cliffy B and curse everybody out.
Oh.
And now they all call him Young Clifford.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently.
Oh.
The guy's a giant bomb, dude.
Gross.
Yeah.
Young Clifford.
I think it's a reference to some sort of obscure rap name.
Oh, okay. I don't think Young Jeezy's that obscure.
I don't know if it's Young Jeezy.
That could be Young... Clifford.
Young Cheesy. Young Cheesy is the new mascot for
Cheetos.
Yeah. So it's going
to
be...
So the Iconic Class is super dope. We'll have a link to it in the show notes and stuff.
Yeah.
So this other game, Polo Nuevo, as you told me it was called. What's the deal with that game?
Okay, so...
I didn't play this one, so...
You didn't play.
Handing it off.
So this game is like...
Actually, he's not saying it, so it's Polo Nuevo.
It's. I didn't know what it was for a long time. if I had not asked for clarification, I still would have said Polo Nuevo. I don't speak that language. What do you want from me? What is a Polo?
It's not English. Must be Spanish.
Polo's
the name of the dragon.
One time I thought somebody was speaking Spanish, and then it turns out it might have been like Portuguese. Is it Portuguese?
Oh, they're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think it was in...
both Iberian?
No. What was that game? Tanks, but not World of Tanks. Side Tanks. Scorched Tanks. It was Gunbound? No, it was that rip-off 2D Gunbound on their website.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was playing that, and this guy, and we were kind of talking in Spanish a bit. At least I thought we were. And then I think I confused him because I was trying to speak Spanish, and he was speaking something else. And I think he called me a young renegade and quit. I don't know if that's cool or not, but...
I think that's amazing!
It's a cool title. He was like...
Young Renegade.
Yeah, he was like, Renegado. And I then quit, and I was like, oh, am I cool now? Am I cool in that country? I don't know. I don't know anything else he said.
That's what we thought Cabal was, right? Some kind of young renegade.
Yeah, some sort of...
Street marauder.
Street marauder, that's what it was.
Marauding the streets.
But, Polo Nuevo is again, it's trying to be a 2D platformer. It's
trying to be?
It is. Okay, so the thing about this game is, like, I found this a long time ago. And you can tell that this is, like, for a while it feels like, you know, like, one of those, like, really, like, you know, my second or third platformer.
Okay. Because,
like, everything is super flat. You know, it, the art style is, like, really cutesy. You know, the dude is, like, one square high, so you can tell that, you know, it was kind of built on a tile set kind of thing, and that's an easy way to go. And just, like, the bright colors, things are really flat, the low resolution, so you're kind of like, all right, so I guess this is, you know, maybe not the biggest thing. And then, like, and the build that I was playing, because I found this, like, a long time ago, the build that I was playing from back then had borrowed sounds from a lot of things. Like, so, like, there were springs in the game that were the sonic spring noises. And, like, so there's a lot about it that I was like, okay, maybe this isn't, like, the best thing. And it starts off, and it's like you're in, you know, super happy grassland zone. And you're like, all right. So you're jumping around. You're finding secret doors. There's just doors sitting in the middle. And it's weird because, like, you can really tell, like, everything this game is trying to crib from. It has, like, Super Mario World, those gates that you can climb on across the level. It has those in it. The door, it has...
Does it have panels that swing around when you punch them?
No, but what it does to that is actually, since you can breathe fire because you play as a tiny dragon, the second best fighter in all the town.
Who's the best?
The sage, but he came down with dragon fluitis.
Oh, no.
And then the doctor wrapped him in bandages. The new build actually has, like, storytelling events. Like, the old one, So what the game is trying to crib from, get to the rest of that later.
Okay.
Like, Like, from the sounds, you can tell it's trying to crib from Sonic, because you can, like...
Sonic Springs.
There's, like, Sonic Springs, and there's not really, like, a sense of speed, but...
And the dragon spin dashes.
No, that would be kind of cool. But like some of the... Like, okay, it came from, like, Sonic for sound, so you know he at least knew about those and was like, all right, I'll bring this in. It's cribbing from Super Mario World, because it has some of those, and you can jump on enemies to kill them.
Unless they have spiky hands.
Yeah, no, that's the cool part. Like, there's one dude in town who tells you, like, oh, yeah, have you seen those, like, little weak guys around? Well, they're, like, you can jump on them to kill them. They're no big deal. But sometimes they get clever and they'll use tools. And they put on spiky helmets, and then you can't jump on them to kill them anymore.
But you breathe fire, right?
But you breathe fire, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything that that's trying to crib from, but something where you shoot bullets. You get that?
You're painting this game in unflattering terms.
I am, but that's the thing. Like, when I came into it, that's kind of what I thought of it. But I was like, hey, it's cute enough. It's a game, and that's why I kept it in mind. It has the destructible blocks, and the way the doors are set up are just like Kirby. Like one of the first levels, you blow away a couple of blocks, there's a door hidden behind it. It's got collectibles. Like every game of the, so like
loot collectibles or just like score collectibles?
Just like score. Well, it seems like score collectibles. Okay. Until you realize one of the systems I play.
Currency?
In a way.
Okay.
But like there's like you can jump on enemies and they'll drop them sometimes, or there's just one floating around. Like you look at it and you're like, okay, this is like every platform game I've seen before.
Right. Okay.
And so it doesn't seem great.
But literally all of them.
Yeah, like thrown together in new ways, and definitely with like. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe he was like even cribbing some like tile sheets for the background. Like I thought one looked a lot like Yoshi's Island, but it very well could have just been trying to do that style. Especially since you know you start with like you know green rolling hills and then you move to seaside beach, but then you get into like
Angel Island.
You don't? No, I haven't gotten to that. Comes later, actually. But there's like the fall forest, and that looks really cool.
I like a fall forest.
But then, so what happens is, like, you're running around, and you're like, oh, all right, this is pretty good. And it's not even that hard for a while. What it does do differently is the collectibles. Is it five or six different colors?
There's five that I saw, because there's one...
There's
like,
five.
Special attack of each element, and then the heal.
Right. So, there's, like, five different, like, color chips that are spread about the world that you just collect. And they're
potato chips.
No, they're more like
gems.
They look more like gushers, if anything.
Okay.
gushers.
Yeah.
You know, gems, gushers, whatever.
Yeah. One or the other.
And there's five different colors, and you collect them, and it keeps track of them separately at the bottom of your screen. And what happens is as you collect these, you have a skill tree that you can bring up.
Oh.
And there's like five different sets of skills, and you have one of each as you start.
Okay.
And basically what happens is that each like branch of this skill set uses a different color.
Okay.
So like, you know, the green one is like a throw a tornado that homes in on enemies, and it costs like 15 gems. So as you're collecting gems, that's what lets you use your special abilities.
Okay.
You know, on top of being able to just shoot fire whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
The fire, you can, there are like, think like dragon coins, but every time you collect one, you upgrade your fire. So it gets stronger and its shot properties change.
Okay.
And it gets reset with every stage. So it can like go up to 5, which is your strongest, and it's basically just like a huge flamethrower that kills everything in one hit. But then when you go to the next stage, you'll be back at level 1 and you have to find these again.
Okay.
Also, these are usually hidden behind like secret doors that are end up being dead ends with one of these at the end.
Okay.
So it's actually kind of cool because it gives you like, you know, dead ends, but there's reason to go down there. Or if you just want to scoot through, it'll be a bit harder, but you'll get done faster.
Now, when you say stages, does this game have like an overworld map and then like you drop into stages?
No. The way that it works is there is like a stage select menu where it's like, do you want stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, or town stage? When you go to town, it's a little like a hub world. Like, you walk around, there's no enemies, you just talk to dudes, and sometimes dudes will give you quests. So, like, each stage, there's, like, two icons on the stage select. One for, like, did you beat the stage yet? The other one for, did you find the secret yet?
Okay.
Some stages, you can find the secrets just on your first time through if you're good at exploring. But then if you go and talk to people in town, sometimes they'll tell you about secrets and what stage it in. At that point, the icon changes to sort of be a silhouette of what the secret is rather than just a question mark.
Oh.
And sometimes like a secret door will appear, and then talking to these dudes encourages you to go back and find those. And then once you find those things, usually you'll bring it back to them and they'll be like, oh, thanks. I found the shiny jewel. I don't need it. You have it. And these are what upgrade your skill trees.
Nice.
So, like, the first one that you get is the Dude Yo-Yo, which is, like, a super secret harder stage that has, like, a lot of jumping that you hated.
I hated so much.
Yeah.
my bane.
And then that, like, when you bring that back to him, he gives you this jewel, and it upgrades your green thing, and you get a new ability, and you can hold more chips of that color.
Oh, nice. Now, are these chips pretty common? Like,
they're super common.
Okay.
Like, think like coins or rings.
Okay.
So every time you re-enter an area, they restock.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you are able to use the abilities like a lot.
And they not like a lot, because like...
But enough.
Yeah, like maybe you'll find like 4 or 5 at a time and spread across like 5 different colors.
Mm.
And the colors do randomize when you re-enter a level. I've noticed that. They're not the same colors in the same positions.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's like a random element to it. Which does make you tend to just sort of stock up on everything. But then after a point, you know, when you start out, I think you can only hold 100 of each color, which...
Only 100.
Only 100, but, like, one of the abilities that you start with costs, like, the health ability is 20 per use, and that's, like, the least common chip, and also it only refills maybe a fifth of your health bar.
Yeah.
So, like, you can use these, but, you know, sometimes you're going to want to use them a lot. But then again, like, the fireball spells, when you get to the end... when you get to like the first boss, you could throw like 2 of those and take away half his health bar, and by that time, like, you may be out of chips, but then it's actually pretty easy to just kill him the rest of the way. I've been using the lightning spell a lot because some of those bosses are really hard, like, and that's the thing about it, like, as you, so at the end of the forest level, or actually in the middle of it, like, you're in the autumn forest, everything is orange, everything is beautiful, you're going around, and then you drop into this area and a freaking... And, like, it's all been, like, you know, like, oh, forest creatures, some monsters, friendly dragons, yay. Like, it freaking, like, metal...
You fight some slime blobs.
Yeah, I think that happens at some point.
Okay.
But...
Little bouncy slime blobs, yeah.
A metal, like, walker shooting lasers falls down, and now you're fighting that. And when you kill it, it explodes, and the forest is on fire. So then you have to finish out the rest of the level.
Jeez.
Yeah, and, like, it starts playing that music, like, oh, shit, everything's on fire. I better run before they know it's me. And it's like you're starting to burn down the forest that you live in. Up to this point has been like a happy forest. And also, what was up with that metal demon bot? Like, it is like a huge thing. It towers over you. And then, like, you get to the end of that stage and you meet the, I don't know what kind of creatures they're supposed to be. They might be some sort of lizard empire.
Okay.
But, like, the dudes are just like, the tests are going well on our new Destructo Walker. It's like, yeah, but we haven't heard back from it in a while. It must be doing so well that it lit the forest on fire. You know, it's going really well. And then, like, they just leave, and you follow them, and there's this whole, like, they are probably aliens because they have, like, a armada of ships, and they want to, like, mine the planet and, like, use up all of its resources and steal things out from under you. Meanwhile, like, when you left town in the beginning, the dude was just like, there's been monsters, you should go, like, travel around to the other towns and see if anybody needs help. And then you run into the Dino Empire, and you're just like, well, shit. And... yeah, like by the end of the first day, you're sneaking into one of their factories that's filled with lava and robots and stuff.
Jeez.
And like, as soon as that, as soon as you see that Mechanowalker, shit gets real. Like, not only, like, the stage, like, the second half of that stage where everything is on fire, I died, like, so many times on that when the rest had been a cakewalk so far. So, like, it's not exactly pixel-perfect platforming, but there's, like, a lot of timing-based stuff. Like, so, like, you...
You were telling me about a ridiculous, like, log and spring launching puzzle before. That yeah. Was just...
Well, that comes a bit later, and that is more puzzle-based, but there's sections where they're dropping bombs that blows away sections of the ground that you're standing on. There's, you know, when there's things on fire, like, fire doesn't move, but there's a lot of fire, and there's a lot more monsters because they're all running, so things are just flying past on the screen, so you have to jump... not land in the fire, but also jump around all of these guys, because you can't kill all of them. And if you didn't level up your fire, it's not worth it to fight them to kill them. Also, when you attack dudes, their health bar shows up in the corner, and I notice that they have different emblems next to them. So I think they correspond to the emblems of the different elements of your skills. So there might be, like, weaknesses and resistance stuff going on, which it hasn't said anything about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, and just, like, the platforming itself, especially, like, once it starts to get hard, isn't so much, like, pixel perfect, like, you know, dodge all the spikes. At some points, it is. And those are actually the roughest. It doesn't do that the best. A lot of it is just, like, timing-based. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, moving platforms that you need to time when you jump on it and then jump around, like, obstacles in the way that, you know, it'll fill a room with enemies and you just kind of have to jump around them because you can't kill them all at the right time. There's a section where they're, like, electrified floors that are turning on and off, and, like, you need to jump in towards one of the lasers, but then time it so that it'll turn off and turn on behind you while you're in air between them and then land on the other side. Like, there's a lot going on that makes it really tough. There's,
I like that style of platforming more than, like, just like, okay, super tiny platforms, don't touch the spinning blades, like, that sort of thing. Like, when things are moving around and there's timing involved, like, I like
and
that.
And you do have, like, perfect air control, like, you don't move unless you're holding move.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is, like, one of those, like, things that you would see in a game that's, like, not the best, but it works really well here for what they're pulling off.
Why would you see that in a game that's, like, not the best?
Didn't they have that in Mario?
No, Mario works differently, actually, if you pay attention to it. There's no momentum to it. I guess is what I'm trying to say, because momentum is harder to code usually.
Oh, okay, I see.
So when you look at it that way, it's usually... it's like, you know, if if you're holding left, you move left at a constant velocity. Otherwise, you are not moving left. You know, that kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, because momentum is harder to code, so a lot of people in their earlier games will not do that. But it actually works, like, they're doing it well. He has really good monster placement, because I think this game's all being made by one guy. It's Games by Grit, so I'm thinking maybe it's Grit Jones.
Okay.
I should probably
look
up
from RoboCop.
Yeah. And RoboCop 2, Revenge of the Robonoids.
Nope.
No? Are you sure?
Yep.
Maybe that was the TV miniseries.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And like, but it keeps this very, like, you know, flat, like, the game looks, and honestly, when you really get into it, it feels like this is a game that would be right at home on a Game Boy, like Game Boy Color era platformers. That's really what it feels like.
Huh.
Except for the fact that it has, like, these abilities and this level up and, like, the sort of the town system. Because, like, each stage is separate, but you can go back to any stage you want at any time, and you can always visit these towns. Except I think it's kind of broken up into chapters, so, like, when you beat the boss of a chapter, you move on to the next set of stages, and I don't know if you can go back. I don't know if that'll be in later, because, again, this is another one that he's still working on it. But there's a lot in there right now. Like, I've made it to the third chapter, I think, and I haven't run out of demo yet. And each chapter is, like, four stages, like, two bosses each. There's a lot going on here.
Hmm.
And, like, it's really fun to play. When it stops being a cakewalk, it actually gets really frustrating. except frustrating, especially if you're trying to do, like, you know, perfect runs. If it's the kind of thing, you know, a lot like trials where, like it'll be okay and you can get into a groove, but as soon as you, like, find one thing that frustrates you, it gets you off of your game and you start dying on even earlier things. There's the stuff of, like, going back through. There's finding out, like, the best times to use different abilities. There's, like, a really good monster selection. Like, each like, stage has unique monsters to it in addition to sort of, like, the grunt guys. And also, after the dudes with the spikes on their head, they level up again and they start putting guns on their head.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, like, one of the stages is forced movement and giant bullets come in. And when you get to the end of the stage, there's a giant one of those dudes with a giant gun on his head. And you have to, like, jump past all the bullets to get behind him, at which point you just wail on him because he's too big to turn around.
Oh, man.
Like, if you go left, is there also one of those guys just with a giant fan on his head?
Well, you can't go left. Because it's forced scrolling.
Forced movement, yeah. I'm going to imagine that he's over there, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Somewhere.
But, yeah, like, this is a really good, like, if you don't, like, spend time with it and you just look at the very beginning, it seems like a game that's just, like, cakewalk and you're just like, oh, I get the gist. Somebody was making a simple game.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really clues you in is the sort of abilities system going on. But, like, if you stick with it for a little while, there's actually a lot going on. There's a lot of variants. Everything looks, like, really simplified. Like, I don't know if this guy was the best artist. I don't know if he is still cribbing sprite sheets for anything, but everything does look really good and everything really makes sense and the levels feel like wildly different. So even just like in, like, you know, Happy Forest Zone, there's like the green forest and then the autumn leaves falling forest and everything looks really nice, looks really different. There's like many different sky castle zones. There's one where there's the
sky castle zones.
There's a sky castle zone where lizard wizards appear, but they don't damage you. They teleport around and throw like an air blast that homes in on you slightly, so you have to try really hard to avoid it, but it just pushes you. But this is in a sky castle where there's gaps everywhere.
So it just fucks up your platforming.
Your platforming and your timing, because in the end you're doing, like, moving platform timing, because there's one that only move when you're on them, and other ones that are moving and will crush, and then these guys trying to blow you around. And, like, it gets really intense.
That sounds hellish.
I would not call it, like, you know, it's not like Massacre, so it's not like I want to be the guy or Meat Boy or anything. It's not that bad, but
did you say Massacre?
Yeah, that.
Wow,
that's kind of accepted way to call it.
Yeah,
I've heard other people when they talk about I want to be the guy in Super Meat Boy. That's like Massacre, where like if you like
Kaizo
these games,
Mario,
is because you kind of hate yourself. Yeah,
okay.
I guess a lot of ROM hacks would fall into there too. So it's not quite that bad, but it does require a lot from you. Especially if you want to get, you know, if you want to level up your fire all the way and get all those secrets, if you want to, you know, stock up on gems to use them when you really need them, if you want to find all of the secret bits and get all of the extra abilities. But there's, like, a lot there, and it gets really deep and really cool. Like, it does the same, it wasn't so much in the original build that I was playing, because in the original build, like, you walk into town, and there was one dude, and all he said was, like, I'll be really important when the full game comes out.
Oh, boy.
But in the new build, there is, like, an intro sequence where he talks, and you find out, like, and they're actually putting in a story of, like, okay, you're the sage, you want to go help everybody out, but he gets sick, and that's why you, Pylo, has to go, and then you meet, like, the next town that you get to is the bird town, so everybody is just birds, and... Like, there's one bird you meet, and, like, the quest that he gives you is, I was waiting for my new CD to come in the mail, because, you know, there's no CD shops around here, because we're a bunch of birds on a mountain. And, but then, so he has to go that, and that unlocks a thing that you have to go back to another level to find. But then it also, like, you can just kind of go look at his CD shelf, and there's, like, a whole bunch of, like, band name puns in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, like, now that he's done a bit more story stuff, and there's people to talk to, there's actually some cool stuff in there. It's doing a good job of, like, creating... I don't know how much, like, it is... Like, it doesn't do much with a sense of character. Like, there are certainly characters, and, you know, they talk differently, they look different, they're clearly separate from each other. But there's not really, like, you know, there are no story arcs so far. You're just going around helping all the different villages.
There's lizard aliens with robots.
It sounds like he's preparing for, like, a surprisingly in-depth, you know, story that's...
Okay, so, like, the first lizard boss that you fight is a dude who is, like... I guess he's, like, one of the four generals. Nobody has said four generals in the game. I'm just assuming, because that's... I guess that's a trope or something.
Four dudes, yeah.
But the first one, his deal is he likes ice cream. So, like, the only reason he stops hanging out in the burning forest to watch the Walker test is because his ice cream melts.
Is melting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, he's eating ice cream when you fight him. So you hit him with, like, one bit of fire. It takes off a quarter of his health bar. But then he gets so pissed off that he's invulnerable. And he has, like, such ridiculous attacks. Like, I actually had to, like, walk away from the game before I could beat him.
Oh, man.
Like, it gets really intense. What's the other bit? And then, like, now, so, like, I beat him, and he's just like, oh, my ice cream is melted. I guess I'm defeated. Like, he runs out of ice cream. And that's how you beat him. And then you move on to the next guy, and now there's another dude who just showed up who is, like, really full of himself and is, like, the narcissistic one, I guess, because he's, like...
So when you fight him, you break all of his mirrors, and then he's like, oh, I guess I'm defeated.
It might be something like that. Like, I haven't fought him yet, but, like, his deal is, like, he shows up, and they're like, all right, we're prepared to begin mining. We'll get the mining robots ready immediately. And he's like, no, we're going to use the laser. But the robots are going to be, like, way more efficient and better. And he's like, yeah, but the laser will be really pretty and cool. And that's his reason.
Oh, okay.
And he's, like, full of himself, and he gets his own crew to attack, you know, other ships of his army because you're standing on top of it, and he has no problem just throwing people out of the ships. And he's just a real jerk.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then even that, like, and again, like, that level has its own hook because it, like, you're a dragon, but you can't fly. So the people from the bird army are using their sky magic to create little tornadoes that when you jump into it, that flings you around the level, and that's how you get around a lot of things. And, like, they're holding certain pieces up that after you jump off of them, they fall away.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, like, there's, like, a lot of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, it seems like it's very varied.
Yeah, and, like, that's why I really feel like I should tell people about, because I didn't even know that. Like, I was just... I like playing little games that, you know, where people are showing that they can improve. And also the fact that, like, he's still working on it. It was Tuyo who posted, he doodled something, he doodled Pylo. Oh. And when I saw that, I was like, that game does exist. And he told me that, like, yeah, they're still working on that. And that made me go revisit it. And it turns out it's kind of super deep.
Thanks, Tuyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that some of that stuff is in there, like, it just seemed like a real cakewalk at the beginning.
So does Games by Grits tweet or anything? Like, can people keep up with him like that?
I don't know. Like, even his sort of dev blog, the last post was, like, the middle of last year.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, life goes on. But for what exists of this game, he's got some other stuff on there. None of it looks that great. One of them is, like, Cash Cab 2.
Like the game show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I think one of them is, like, Super Jumpman, which is a game based entirely around wall jumping.
I like that. I like wall jumping.
It's kind of like Icy Tower, if I were to compare it to something. It reminds me of Icy Tower.
How does it compare to Super Bomb Jill?
Super Jill-Off?
Yeah.
Not like that.
Okay.
Jill-Off had no wall jumping, actually.
It had jumping.
Mighty Bomb Jack. But, yeah, like, I want to make sure people hear about this game, because if you just sort of come across it and just want to see what it's about...
You might just be like, ugh, blah.
Yeah, there's a good chance you'll just pass it over, but there's actually a lot of good stuff happening here, and you just... Like, it's not even like the fact that it is too easy is what'll make you go away, which is a shame, because as soon as you get past the easy part, there's a good thing in there. I'm going to keep playing it after we're done talking about this.
Yes, I'm definitely going to have to go revisit that, because I hadn't gotten to any of those parts yet.
You had no idea.
I'm going to visit this game first off, and then, oh, man, you've gotten me hyped for this. I'm a little salty I didn't play during the week.
And, like, that's the thing. Because, like even on the website, like, there's, like, not much about it. It's just like, yeah, it's this game. It's Pylo Nuevo. I've been working on it. I said it again. Pylo Nuevo. But this game never really got hype, which I think is because, like, it looks like, you know, like...
It looks like
somebody's second
effort.
Game. Yeah. Which maybe it is, but it actually has a lot going for it.
I mean, if it is, it sounds like this dude is hella promising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then, it's kind of cribbing, because, like, it has, like, the Sky Castle level, which is what Angel Sanctuary was. It has a level where you're running on top of the ships in the dude's fleet, which is a lot like the Mega Man X Storm Eagles level.
I like all of these things.
I do, too. And it's, like, I guess it's kind of the way Darksiders was, where, like, Darksiders is just, like, a love letter to a bunch of other Zelda games, and it had a portal gun in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it manages to do... It does all of these things that it's cribbing from, while keeping it, putting in just enough fresh stuff and putting its own spin on everything. Mm. Like the way you collect chips in that ability system actually does do things a lot. It's telling its own story, which I'm not going to say it has twists, but like you do not expect shit to get real, and then shit gets real, but then it's still got these,
what a
like,
twist!
Like sort of cutesy characters in it, like the dude who likes ice cream,
I mean, and the birds.
Yeah,
it sounds like a very intriguing story, like in and of itself. Yeah, I mean, just listening to you talk about it, I want to find out, you know, what.
What's
going on there?
Like, I know that there's going to be other towns. I kind of want to see what the other towns are. Like, I enjoy going to all these different places.
I want
to
see a frog town.
Frogtown would be awesome.
Well,
but that would lead to, like, a lot of water levels.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably got to be water levels, dude.
Yeah.
Shoot steam out of your mouth.
And then also, like, I didn't mention it, like you, that's kind of where you gave up on the log highway.
I beat that level. I got to the first boss, and then, you know, I was disappointed by the first boss. He was...
Yeah, like, you're disappointed by it, right?
He was insanely easy.
Like, the next level, there's a little bit of easy stuff, and then shit goes on fire, and then it's hard forevermore.
Okay, well, I'll get on that.
Yeah.
That's...
Keep on trucking.
But,
definitely.
What was I about to say?
I don't know.
You like ice cream.
I like ice cream.
Story.
How's he compared to the milkman from Metal Gear Solid? The ice cream dude.
Not that bad. No, he doesn't do, like, punch stuff.
He doesn't compare that bad, okay.
Yeah. But, like, and that's the thing, like the story is sort of, like, even the story appears sort of childish in a way, and, like, there's not, like, a good story arc or anything, but, like, just the way that things look and the like, monster, mechanically, this game is very solid. Like, that's the thing about, like, the tools you have available seem kind of sophomoric because, you know, there's no momentum, there's nothing fancy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Super Meat Boy, like again, there's no wall jumping, there's no edge climbing, but, like, he is seeing that and then working with that and getting, like, juicing something very good at. Like, the Log Highway, that's what it was. So, like, you know how when games have sections where you're, like, standing on a barrel and you roll that along?
Mm-hmm.
That actually comes back in a bunch of different fashions.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's the logs float in water, and then you can, like, the main thing about them all is, like, there's, like, rails that you can't step on, but you can roll logs across them.
Right.
So you have to stay on the log and roll that through obstacles. So, yeah, like, if you thought the hammer section was rough, it gets worse.
Okay.
It gets worse. There are lasers. But then also, like, there's a section where you're... it's not logged, it's gears. And then, so, like, you need to roll the gears into bigger machines. So you need to, like, build the platforms to get it across. And then when it gets there, like, it opens up the door.
Oh, jeez.
And then the whole thing, like, now there's this new mechanic of flipping platforms where one side is safe, one side is not. And any, I think they're just boulders in that case. But when the boulders are on one of those platforms and you step on the button to flip them, then it throws the rock in the air. And if you can be on the rock, you can ride it up and get, like, a huge boost jump and then jump off of that, and then that keeps going. Oh, and then the Super Mario World gates that you sort of climb up vertically on?
I always thought of them as fences.
Fences? Okay, yeah, fences is better. But, like, what he does with that is it doesn't flip to the backside, but because you can spit fire, you spit fire in one direction and it blows you in the other direction.
And then, so you can sort of propel yourself along them.
Yes, but then there's a section where you have to move up and down and blow yourself sideways. That has a little bit of momentum on it, and you need to go up and down to avoid giant spike grinder walls.
Yeesh.
Wow.
But, okay, so when you level up your fire, you can actually select to go back down to different fire, because they do have different properties to, like, mm-hmm. the pattern they fire in.
Really?
And yeah, so like, the first one you get is, like, a pea shooter, but it fires very fast. When you level it up, it fires slower, but they're bigger balls, and I think they travel through them. And then level 3 is, like, it doesn't travel through. Its speed is in between 1 and 2, but then also it'll fire, like, an upshot and a downshot as it travels along, like bombs and Gradius or something.
Okay.
And then, like, the fifth one, like, is the most powerful, but it's
really
short. Fifth level.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. There's only 5 levels, though.
I thought it was only 3.
No, 5 levels.
Okay.
What's the fourth level?
Fourth level is, like, a really, really slow to refire, but a fast-moving projectile, like, double move, like double whirl fireball. Okay. Like it's really strong and pretty big, but it takes forever to refire. So that's the thing. So like while you're hanging on those,
so it's really like as you're leveling up your fire breath, it's kind of like just getting different weapons.
Yes, although they do get stronger as you go through, and like the fences is the only time I've considered going to a lower level because like when you fire faster, it's like per shot that you move forward.
Okay,
so like. On that one, I switched to the one that had the slowest refire time, because that way it didn't push me too much, and I had better control over it. Mm. Yeah. And, like, the abilities are pretty different. There's, like, most of them are just, like, different kinds of attacks, but they're elemental attacks. I haven't figured out if there's a real difference to elements yet, but they're, like one that homes, one that sort of shoots anything that's near you and won't get stuff that's too far out. Ones that, like, go this way and then, or go off one side of the screen and then fly back the other side faster. And then there's, like, there's a regen one that'll give you some health back. There's one that'll make a thought bubble pop up over a pylo and sort of be either dots or exclamation point if there is a secret nearby.
Whoa.
And then I just unlocked the next one.
Does that stay up for any period of time? Because I saw that one, but I was a little hesitant to use it because if, you know, it's like 15 gems, but if it's like, if it's only like a one-shot deal, then it seems kind of...
Yeah, no, like I really haven't used it because, as far as I can tell, all it does is it just comes up and it's like, is an exclamation point if there is something on, you know, on this screen, basically.
Right.
Or not like the screen, but like the whole section until the next door.
Right.
But it doesn't like stick around and you don't play hot and cold with it. It's just either like a yes or a no near here.
See, I don't think it would be as useful then.
The only other thing I can think of is the door that you go behind to find the guy's yo-yo.
Right.
Is not there the first time you go through there. That door doesn't show up till you talk to that guy.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if it'll make that door appear if you use it where the door winds up appearing. If it does that, then it's useful, but then that's only useful for, like, repeat playthroughs when you only know about it and you want to turn it on to make it appear.
Also, it'd be interesting to find out what when you level up that ability, whether, you know, it becomes, like, it's the earth element, isn't
that's,
it?
The second level is a sandstorm, so it's, like, a really powerful...
Oh, okay, so it's just it turns into attacks and doesn't maintain, like, a utility?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Everything seems like there might be more utilities. I don't know how many he actually has, like, in the game, because I've only hit level 2 on, like, 3 of the tiers. Because then the other one is what the health buff levels up into isn't more health, it's level up your fire by 1. But it costs 100 chips.
Oh, okay.
But just, like, you knock it out, and immediately you have 1 level higher fire.
Interesting.
Yeah. Instead of having to go find a red jewel.
Mm.
So, yeah, this game has a lot going on to it,
yeah.
And it's actually, like, really good. It's just that, like, when you feel it and you don't feel the momentum, you're like, isn't this sort of like a... It feels like something that somebody makes when they're not trying to make a good game.
It had a slow start.
Yeah. But, like... Just, like, the monster placement and the way he's done this timing, he's got a good sense of creating locations. Because, like, no location feels like any other location. Like, they even individual stages within a chapter feel wildly different, but yet they're all thematic. So, like, there's, like, Happy Zone where, like, you know, Cool Breach and, you know, Happy Hills
Breach.
And... Beach? Cool Breeze Beach, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, talking about, like, you know... running on logs and springs and birds holding out on platforms and things. It seems like every level has its own very different set of, like, gimmicks to it.
Yeah. And yeah, there's like, a lot
I don't say gimmicks, like, disparagingly.
No, gimmick. That's actually, earlier when I said it's also cribbing from Sonic, I think that's sort of where it's cribbing from Sonic and the fact that it has sort of gimmick levels to it. Or, like, there is a gimmick per level, because... That's what was good about Sonic 3 and why Sonic 3 is probably the best, because it had, like, gimmick levels in it. Where, like, this is a level where there are, you know, ice blocks that you slide on. This is a level where there's, you know, falling platforms. You don't see those anywhere else. Chemical Zone. You don't see... So a lot of stuff appears in Chemical Zone that you see never again until Sonic Generations, when they tried to rebuild Chemical Zone and did a shit job of it.
But this game sounds like they take time introducing things and then they revisit them later, like with the rolling logs and...
And then coming back to the rolling gears.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that appear and then they bring back. But, like, they're still introducing new stuff. Like, there has not been the moment of, like, okay, now we're going to combine everything you've seen so far, because they're still introducing new stuff. Like one section with defenses was good. It's while you're getting bombed and pieces of the thing are getting blown away. So like you see a fence and it sort of makes like an S shape and you're like, oh, I just have to climb up towards that S. Then that part of the S gets blown away and you're like, oh, I guess I have to keep going up.
Hmm.
And like they're doing it really well. And there was a segment behind a secret door where the answer is to constantly bounce jump off a chain of enemies to get to the other side of the room.
Good.
So there's one of those in there.
Good.
So this game is doing something right.
Okay.
I feel like I've gone on about this game for a long time.
Me too.
And that's the thing. Like, you can talk about this game a lot because, you know,
it's so in depth. You know, it's got so many different factors to it.
Well, because like the reason why you play this game is because of getting through each room. Like, if I were to spoil part of this game, you would have to just describing level layouts. And mm-hmm. there's enough in this game. It's just like a lot of levels. Like, I've played a bunch of this game and I'm not at the end yet. I don't know where the end is.
And this is still like a demo release, yeah. Right?
So,
man,
versus something like Iconoclast, where we kind of talk about all of the, like, the gameplay elements of to it. And now at this point, it starts to be like, you know, you can't talk about it anymore without going into the writing. And that would sort of be a spoiler. Like everything about this game, like, if you like everything you've heard of, the game is entirely ways at which these mechanics are put into play. And it's just about getting past them and doing them. And then there's actually some
goofiness.
There's some goofiness. Yeah, like, it's cute. Like, we're burning down forests, but we're still managing to be sort of cute about it in a weird way. Yeah. Like when the dude gets sick at the beginning of the game, like, the doctor is goofy, and he's like, oh, you've got dragon flu sneezes. Or no, he's like, you have the dragon flu. And then you see him later, and he's like, I wrapped him in bandages because that's how medicine works. And then later he's like, all right, I guess I'll thank you for saving our town. I'll go check out the next town. And they start sneezing, and he's like, it's evolved into the sneezes flu. And then he can't go again, so.
Sneezes flu.
Goofy. Like, I want to say, like, it's a little childish in how it's goofy, but it's not, like, it's not saccharine. Like, it's not so childish that you're like, I don't want to be embarrassed by playing it.
Right.
And then at the same time, like, then you go and you play a game, you play the game, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm on fire again. And it does have a quick save option, so, like, you know, like a fast save. Or like
it'll like a save state, basically? Or a suspend?
Yeah, like a suspend. So you'll quick save, and it'll quit you back to the menu. But then you'll pick up right there, and you don't. Because otherwise, I think you go back to the stage select, and you start from there.
Mm.
Like, I have it saved right now because there's this long sequence of lasers and jumpies, and then I just can't get past it. And then a wizard shows up and blows me into a pool of lava inside of a spaceship, and then I'm just like, ah.
Spaceship.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the game is really good. It should not be missed.
Pilo Nouveau. The game's really good. It should not be missed.
I'm going to look up the dude's name.
Okay.
Because the developer is Games by Grit. I don't know if this is just one dude or if it's a couple of dudes. Let me find out.
Okay. What a cute dragon.
Yeah, he's super cute. I, Grit, am an independent game developer who works primarily using a registered copy of Game Maker. Okay. He also does Game Boy Advance homebrew, which... talks about why this would make... I would love to play this on a Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, one dude is making this game, and it's...
fantastic.
Really good. Like he understands his limitations, and is getting... I mean, that's the thing. Like, as you go further in the game, like, each sort of gimmick that's introduced is, like, more complicated to code than the last.
Mm.
So you can tell that this is maybe, like, sort of his opus. Like, as he's learning, he keeps going back and adding more.
Mm.
Which... I would imagine at some point he might want to go back to, like, the very beginning and clean some stuff up. But I don't even know if he has to. Like, it's very organic the way everything is introduced. And, like, even though, like, things are, like, more complex, it works. And, like as soon as that walker shows up and the game takes a turn about, oh, my God, evil robot empire, like, everything gets harder. Everything is so well placed. Things are a bit more clever. And it keeps going from there. And it's, yeah. I will put links to Pilo Nouveau and Iconoclast in the show notes.
Cool. Where can you find those?
The show notes can be found at the website, leekustudios.net/podcast.
Yeah. Can you find the podcast anywhere else?
You can find a podcast in the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune Marketplace. While you're there, if you wanted to give us a review or a rating, that would be super appreciated.
Oh, cool.
Bump our numbers up.
What if people have more to say than just like a review? What if they want to talk to us?
If you have anything you really want to tell us about, you can always send us an email at podcast@ulikustudios.net, or you can find us on Twitter @uliku.
Whoa, rad.
Yeah, super cool, ain't it? We're trying to make it easy. We want to know what's going on.
I love social media.
Yeah.
It's so social. Jake, it was fantastic having you on the show.
Yeah, it was great being here. Your guys' opinions are amazing.
I don't know shit.
Your guys' views into these games. I mean, Palo Nuevo. I wouldn't have thought to revisit it if you know you hadn't had all this insight into.
Yeah,
you know.
It's amazing the kind of stuff that seems like it's terrible until you just put a little more into it.
Yeah.
And on that topic, have you seen MDGeist?
No.
Well, have I got a story for you.
Okay.
When we're done here.
But yeah, it's fantastic having you on the podcast, and I look forward to us working together in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you can pass the physical challenge course of your internship.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's still the trial period that we're working through.
Okay, I've been training for this.
Yeah,
so.
if you are ready today and you just want to move forward with it, we have a bucket of fish in the back room for the first trial.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and the Puigi 6 are ready for combat, already soaked in kerosene.
Awesome.
We haven't set up the ropes course outside yet, so we'll have to do that on another day.
Yeah, no, that's all right because I just got word from the supplier and the gorilla is not going to arrive. For
another
week.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right then. So don't worry about that one just yet.
Yeah, well, right. We'll get to it in good time.
Well, thanks for the spoilers. I get to go home and train now.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'm going to train to fight a gorilla. But
assuming he survives the challenges.
Just remember, wall jumping is healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
have you ever played Action Fist? I'm going to give you like a list of games you go back and play.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
And
I thought of a good sign off.
Yeah.
Now that
we're
at this part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
This is Nick for Ryan and Jake in the Leeku Studios podcast, reminding you to give credit where credit is 25 cents per one play.
It's a little wordy.
A little? I feel like it could be cleaned up a bit, but I like that. It's give credit where
credit
is 25 cents per play. Come on!
We'll work on it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going with that until you guys come up.
I mean, it probably beats the one from last week.
Is that Palo Nuevo?
How's it spelled?
Nouveau.
Yes, so not Nuevo. Polo Nuevo, which is what you told me
it's,
first.
Because that's like nine chicken.
Also, yes. It has a Y.
No.
Yeah.
Palo Nuevo, it's like...
It's the new Palo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
French.
Which a Palo is a pylon, right? Because he's orange, so it's symbolic.
I know
why
of a pylon.
I believe a pen is a stilo.